moment, certain things will just fall into focus. Today was one of those days. Let's just revisit a little something we touched on last week. We'll try to give it a little bit better definition. We talked about the fact that in Chayodom, Mishabura, that the general approach to the Machlokes, if the nights of Sfira are ma'akiv, meaning if you skip the night, did you kill the mitzvah or not? So the general approach that we've all learned since childhood, and Chayodim says it, Chofetz Chaim says it at least in one place, is this all one mitzvah? Or is it separate mitzvahs? Each night stands on its own. So I want to come back and re-explore this a little bit before we go forward. I first asked you a question. And then I realized, perhaps last week afterwards, what the answer might be. That the Gemara in Menachah says that any multi-staged mitzvah, you make a bracha on the final stage. You don't make a bracha on all the preliminary stages. And that's what a Bavli holds. When you build a sukkah, you don't make a bracha. The Yerushalmi holds, you make a bracha. The Bavli holds in the Menachos that you don't make a bracha. So, if this is all one mitzvah, why are we making brachas all along the way? We should make a bracha on the last night. What came into focus is a very interesting vort. And this vort is both found in the writings of Rabbi Saul Salanter, I think in Tvuna it is, but it's found in the writings of Rabbi Saul Salanter. And I also saw that the Chassam Sofer in one of his forms said the same thing. Gemara in the Gemara in the Dorm talks about the fact that when they did an analysis of the causes of Churban Bayis Rishon, no one was able to understand it. Sholom and Aviyam, they asked the Aviyam, no one knew the answer until Vayomer Hashem al Ozvam as Tarossi. Al Ozvam as Tarossi, then you didn't have to be the Rabbeinu Shalalu. If nobody was learning Torah, so then that should have been obvious to everyone. They didn't make a brocha. They didn't make a brocha before I learned. So the Shaila is, if they learned, and they obviously were learning seriously, otherwise the Nevi'im would have realized themselves, and the Chacham would have realized what the source of the problem was. So they were learning quite seriously. So they took learning as a mitzvah. If they took it as a mitzvah, so why didn't they make a bracha before they started to learn? What was their cheshbon? You know, whatever they did wrong, it was something subtle. It wasn't a gross thing. They didn't think the Torah was a secular limud that you don't have to make a bracha on it. They understood this is the Dvar Hashem. And they learned seriously to such an extent that even the Nevi'im couldn't detect the deficiency. So what was the deficiency? So why not? Why didn't they make a bracha? So the Chassam Sofer and Rabbi Saul Salanter both write the same thing. Very interesting. Interestingly. Based on this Gemara in Menachos, that in a multi-stage mitzvah, you make a bracha only on the final stage. Their perspective was that Talmud Torah was also a hechsher mitzvah. What do you mean a hechsher mitzvah? Get a new computer. And you want to know how it works. How this operating system works. What its strengths, etc. What's the new things that it's supposed to do? What did they change from the last system? So what do? You take out the manual and you read through it. So if you're on the techie type, that understand such a thing, so after you go through the manual, so understand how the computer works. If you don't have the manual, so then it's a lot of trial and error, and you won't discover necessarily something that's important to you. The manual, you'll thumb through, you'll find the things that are relevant to you. They looked at the Torah as a manual, a divine manual. It didn't come from Microsoft, it came from the Rabbeinu Shalom, through Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, what was it? A divine manual. A manual of what? how to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. How can you know how to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam if you don't have the Torah? Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebalpeh. But what's a sukkah? What's tefillin? What's tzitzis? How could we have the foggiest idea without the Torah Shebalpeh? But they looked upon the Torah. It's a manual. It's a divine manual how to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. In that sense, the way they put it, it's a hechsher mitzvah. It's a preparation to do the mitzvah. And therefore, that's the reason that you don't make a bracha. So I think from their perspective is, the Gemara is saying, why don't you make a bracha when you build a sukkah? Because the building of the sukkah is merely a hechsher, a preparation to do the real mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah. Just, what can you do? You know, you wait it. It's ready the day after Yom Kippur. And the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't cause the sukkah to fly out of the garage and get set up in the alley. So what can you do? So if the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't do it, so I have to hold up my sleeves and do it myself. But the tachlis is to eat in it. If I'm not going to eat in it, then there's no point in what I did now. So we could look at it. The Gemara in Menachos is saying, stating it's something which is a hechsher mitzvah. In that sense, it's multi-staged. Then you only make a bracha on the culmination of the mitzvah itself. But if each, there are many different stages, and each stage is a mitzvah, it's not a hechsher, except the mitzvah has many different parts to it. So, but each one is a mitzvah in its own right. It's just the culmination doesn't come till the 40th, but each step is a mitzvah, it's not a hechsher. So therefore, perhaps that's the hesber and whatever Hag held that you can make a bracha, even though it's a multi-stage mitzvah. But what struck me today is that we have a number of different reasons that we look at in what the Sefiras Hayom is. I want to take two of those reasons, and I believe that this lies really at the heart of the machlokes of the Bahag, perhaps. At the heart of the machlokes of the Bahag and the others that disagree with him. We touched upon what's the reasons for the Sefiras Hayom. We long ago have concluded that this is not a chayk. It's certainly not a chayk. There's some practical purpose in the counting. So we know api Kabbalah, it's the 49 steps of preparation for Kabbalah Sater. According to the Sefer Achinuch, it is the anticipation of Kabbalah Sater. Now, neither one of them really is a Pashto Sakro. I want to get a simple explanation. When you learn Chumash, what conclusion you should we come to about what the Sefiras Hayom is? Learn Chumash. What is the from the text itself? What should I conclude? Is the reason for the mitzvah? Now, both of these are very nice reasons, but they're not rooted in the text. The anticipation for Kabbalah Sater, the spiritual growth and going rising through the 49 Madregas, all very nice, but there's no remez in the text for that. So I made a discovery. You know, certain times, the best hiding place is right out in the open. That's where no one looks. What you hide, people look for. What you leave in the open, people don't look for. So this Sforno was the same. The Sforno was right out in plain sight. The only problem was that it was a little prior to the parsha of Sefiras Hayom. So whenever I looked, investigated Sefiras Hayom, the Sforno, I didn't find anything in the Sforno that which explains Sefiras Hayom. One fine day, I was learning the Chumash earlier in the parsha, and there it touches upon the parsha, what comes later in the parsha of the Sefiras Hayom. And there he gives us insight in general into the Chagim and into the Sefiras Hayom, a very, very important insight. And he writes the following. Let's see where we should start. start here. Aber wir schauen mal, dass ich hier noch mal mehr Dibor beatme. Each Moed, after the initial ones, has its own Psukkah, and he explains. Kimiyo, v'hischo Dibor Chagashvus min ha'aymer, from the Aymer, kimiyo is mascho kotzer ba'aymer. That's the start of the barley harvest. It starts at Pesach. Rather a choice, I'm sorry. Mira Aymer, because Oz Hischo Kotzer Baimer means the beginning of the barley harvest is the Aymer, and that's which is going to Sviras Ashvois, Shema Inyan Achaganikr Chakotzer. And that will end when Shuas comes. That's when the harvest started at Pesach time, and it will end at Shuas time. And that's why Shema Inyan Achaganikr Chakotzer. B'chak Shvuos, Shavu Nosan, Hoidol Okeil, Noisan Hoidol Okeil, Al Shvuos, Chukos Kotzer, on the development of the weeks in between Pesach and Shvuos, Sheshomar Lonu, that the Rabbeinu Shalom saw that the agriculture continued to develop from the beginning of the harvest, during the first grains that were ready, until the completion. He Omnam Mikavonas Haragolim, there he gets down to discussing Yom Tov Zohar, what's the purpose of the Yom Tov? Heimat Filo V'Hoidol, it's twofold. To be mispalo before the Rabbeinu Shalom, and to give Haidah, to give thanksgiving to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Come over Moed Chayyudah Aviv, when it comes to Pesach, our tefillah lekeil la'aviv. The tefillah is that the spring should go well and we should succeed in the harvest and in the completion of the growing season. Haidah la'gula, and we thank the Rabbeinu Shalom for having redeemed us. V'yoski atzlochas akotzer tihiyot kivimezeg azman. How successful the harvest will be according to the weather which prevails with Chilas Aviv and Akotzer, in between the beginning of spring and the harvest. I remember here once in the Midwest, there was a huge amount of rain in June. And they said there was so much rain, it killed all types of crops. They were inundated and they were destroyed. So you need the right weather. Too dry, they wither away too. I came once to observe the number of years ago where I stayed, there were cornfields. Right around the block from where I stay in the country. And usually the cornfields, the corn stalks are taller than a human being stands. And the one summer I came, the little tiny things all the way down there, and there's no corn, not a piece of corn in sight. So there was no rain. So they didn't develop. They were stunted. They didn't grow. The corn didn't grow. There was no development. And I spoke to the guy that runs the land. He says, it cost me $9,000 to seed it. If I succeed, I make $20,000, I take $30,000 out, I make $20,000 profit, I pay certain taxes, whatever, the land and this and that with that money. But that year, you put money in and nothing came out. So you need the right mix. Enough rain, not too much rain. Enough sun, not too much. So that is dependent on how the weather will proceed in between the beginning of spring and the Chag HaKotzer, the time of Shavuos. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam should give particular care to these weeks so that the kotzer, the harvest, should be appropriate. It's Hoya Omer Haidala of the Korban Omer is Haidah for the spring. It's thanking the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We got that the spring is beginning and things are starting to grow. And that's the same notion as bringing Bikurim. We bring the first of the barley to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Well, your korban imo, and the korban which was brought, the Omer had the barley, the korban which was actually put on this mizbeach, your korban imo, the korban was an expression of tefillah. Ala osit. Now he says, well, your sviros ikorun the tefillah. The svira is to remind us that we have to count, that we have to be mispalo. Yoim yoim. Each day we have to be mispalo. In other words, the clock is ticking. These are very crucial times, and we should remember day by day, another day is ticking by, and we have to be mispalo. Well, yochai ha-kotzer ha-idol ha-toiv, ha-toiv ha-kotzer, the Shuas is a idol that the harvest is going well. And then there's a tefillah, obviously, ala osed, that we should, they shouldn't rot in the field. V'chag ha-osef, ha-toiv ha-osef. So the tefillah is for the next stage that we have to do. And when we get to Sukkot, so the haidah is that we succeeded. We planted, we harvested, and we gathered into the silos and the granaries. And now we have a bakasha for Mayim for the next cycle.
It stops raining in Eretz
Yisrael before Pesach. Whatever it is. So the weather, the mildness, or the mildness of the weather and the dew, etc. What all the factors that are necessary. It shouldn't be too hot.
We're looking for the next...
So in between. No, in between Pesach and Shavuos, it probably has to do that it shouldn't be too hot. It should be the right amount of sun and not too hot. After Shavuos, we hope that nothing will occur, no blight will occur, which will destroy the crop after it's harvested. Or the locusts shouldn't come, or whatever may come. Now, by the time we get to Sukkot, we thank the Rabbeinu Shlom that we succeeded not only in harvesting it, but we got it out of the field. And Russia, what was their problem? The problem in Russia wasn't what didn't grow. The problem is they could not move what grew to market. They just, their system could not get it done. And then when we come to Sukkot, so we thank the Rabbeinu Shlom that we succeeded, and now we're turned forward to the next growing season. So the Chagim are a combination of Haidah, of whatever we're celebrating at that moment, plus Tefillah for the next stage that we need. And he tells us, voice our sphere, what's this sphere for? Zikaron l'tfilah yom yom. Well, we started to be mispalel on Pesach, that the conditions in the spring should be favorable for the harvest. So we have to daven each day. His voice says, our sphere, zikaron l'tfilah yom yom, was to remind us what we count day. It's another day of tfilah. Another day of svartachan v'mochrat ha-shabbos. Ad yom aviyachem. For what reason? Because you're in the time now of the harvest. Sheva Shemozet to me, and Ruch Rosh Hashavi, Krafta Mincha Chadosh Al Hashem, and then you're going to bring the Shtei Alechem from wheat. This is it. This is the crunch time. You know, this is, it's all going to come in the next 7 weeks, or 6 weeks in between, or 7 weeks from Pesach until Shavuos. Either you make it now or you're doomed. So this is the time that you need tefillah. So it's a reminder that we should be mispalel day by day. So the thought that crossed me my mind is the following. If the inyan of the sphira is the tefillah that we have to make each day, whatever I did yesterday is not relevant to today. Yesterday I slept the whole day. I didn't get out of bed. I didn't take the covers off from over my head. I didn't stop one word to the Rabbeinu Shalom yesterday. No. So therefore what? So now what do I do tomorrow? To be mispalel now, just because I missed yesterday's opportunity. But listen, did the Rabbeinu Shalom was here? The Rabbeinu Shalom was a kol yochel. I could be mispalel to him today, and my tefillah today can take care of whatever I need. So, the inyan, there's no collective aspect to it. It's a reminder day by day that the clock is ticking. Now, there are 49 days, and then basically you're going to be up to the end of the harvest. So, I'm telling you, one day went by, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, you know, the clock is ticking, getting gear. But each day is a day in its own right for tefillah. It has nothing to do with any other day. When you get to Shavuos, that's it, the clock ran down, the game is over, that's it. If you learn, for example, the way that the Sefer HaChinuch learns, then you can comprehend where the Bahag is coming from. You don't necessarily have to agree with him, but you can understand where the Sefer HaChinuch is coming from, where the Bahag is coming from. The Bahag that said that the Knights of Ma'ak of each other. If the whole point is to prepare for Shavuos, the 50th day from now, we're going to accept the Torah from the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's very nice if you keep on counting. What happens if you stop counting? So that's it. So now what are you going to do? I counted 10. 11 I didn't count. So what are you counting? So your whole count is skewed. You're supposed to count to 50. After 10, you cut out. Now you want to wake up again, but you can't count to 50 anymore. So therefore, what are you supposed to do? Why? Because it's the whole sphere is not focused day by day. It's the period is an anticipation of the Kabbalah Satur. Tisperu Chamishim Yom. And then you're going to make the Chag Shavuos. The Kraft of Mincha Chadosh Al Hashem. So if I blew out part of it, so that's it. So I can't count the 50 days. The 50 days is all one thing. It's all step by step by step by step by step. Count 50 days to Kabbalah Satorah. Now I can't count 50 days to Kabbalah Satorah anymore because I missed one of them. So I can't count 50 days anymore. So what am I supposed to do? I can't count 12. I didn't count 11. I'm not counting. I'm not up to here and count. Can't count 11 today because that passed already. So I'm stuck. So that could be, you don't have to necessarily agree with the Bahag if you take this standpoint. You can still learn that each day is a day of counting on its own. But according to the Sforno, it's undoubtedly the case that each day is a mitzvah in its own right. Because each day is to be mispalo. Whether I davened yesterday or I didn't daven yesterday doesn't affect my ability to daven today. The clock is running. It's a time for tefillah. Tefillah is very necessary. It's a critical time. So whenever I daven, I daven. Each tefillah is important. Each day of tefillah is important.
But once you have a count, you've built a dependency in it. I mean,
so that's what I'm saying. Nothing's built in. The count only is to tell you, listen, the clock is running. That's all. The clock is running. It has nothing to do when one has to with... The last minute has nothing to do with the next minute. You have the clock in the football game. Has nothing to do, because it's minute number 10, with the 9 minutes that came before. It's only telling you that 10 minutes have elapsed and there's 5 minutes left in the game.
But
so
that's because the clock is outside the game.
The same thing. That's the same thing. The clock is just reminding you, count. What's the counting for? The counting is not important in its own right. The count is to tell you, listen, this is day number one to be mispalo. This is day number two. Meaning to say, there's no connection of those days. It's only, the clock is ticking. So do something about it. Don't be lethargic. The time is running. What you didn't do yesterday, a shot that you didn't do it yesterday, it's unfortunate. But see you today. So according to the Sforno, I think it's undoubtedly true that the Balei Tosfos are correct. That there are no shaychas for the days to be ma'ak with each other. They have nothing to do with each other. Each day is another day to be mispalo. I saw a Shachar's Monday, Tuesday, and whatever. I didn't daven Shachar's Monday. There's no Havim in it, and I shouldn't daven Tuesday. It's another day of tefillah. It's just a reminder that this is a time that it's important to be mispalo. Within the Sefer HaChinuch's type of approach, that it's an anticipation of Kabbalah Satorah, which may even be according to the Mekubalim also, ultimately. It's each stage is building towards being ready for Kabbalah Satorah. So there you could argue at least that the whole thing is point. There's a tachlis to the whole thing. The tachlis is to get to day 50. That's the whole point. The days along the way are not really significant in their own right. They're only significant in the sense that they lead you to 50. That's what's important about them. All the steps along the way are, they may be necessary, but there's no point in them other than that they get you. I have to walk to the train station. So good. So I have to walk 10 blocks. So what's the significance of having gone the first block? Nothing. The entire sole significance is only if I finish the 10 blocks and I get to the train station. If I don't get to the train station, there's no point in... The whole thing is pointless. There's nothing significant in this in its own right. I think the Bahag, that's the difference. The Bahag looks at it as the entire sphere is one thing. Reaching the culmination, the 50th day, is the day of Kabbalah Satorah. So if you're not going to get to 50, then what are you counting for? It's like I walked five blocks to the station, and I have 10 blocks to go, and after 5 blocks I'm going to sit down. So what did you do with the 5 blocks? Nothing. Yeah, you had to do them, because when you started off, you were intending to go 10 blocks. But at the end of the day, what did you accomplish? Zero. Accomplished nothing. Whereas according to the Sforno, that it's a reminder that each day is a day of tefillah. The days don't have anything to do with each other. I daven Monday, I daven Tuesday, I daven Wednesday. There were 7 weeks of tefillah from Pesach till Shavuos. So they have nothing to do with each other. Each day is a day in its own right. Daven, kaima mitzvah. It's a reminder. The sphere is merely, it's a reminder.
That makes it sound like a hetzer. You're doing the mitzvah on the count.
The mitzvah is only to remind us. That's not a hersha. The mitzvah is to remind us. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is The Rebbeinu Shloimeh speaks to us, Mark Franco! This is day number one. Mark Franco, tomorrow's day two. Day one is shot already. Now you're up to day two. Mark Franco, this is day 20. But the days are not connected. There's no sense of connection. There's nothing, no commonality between the days.
So if you skip, you're okay.
That's
no
why.
Commonality, why do we bother count? But isn't there still...
The count is because there are 7 weeks, the clock is ticking down. That's all. And it's to remind us that the clock is ticking. And seize the moment. What you didn't do until now, 20 days passed and you didn't do anything about it. Or you did do it, good. If you did do it, Ashrecha. There's another 30 days to go. If you didn't do it, get in gear. That's all it is.
Wasn't Klai Yisrael preparing?
What? Listen, I'm not necessarily going, as I said, I'm not being nichnas to the dvorim of the Mekubalim. I'm going, in other words, with the two timing that I'm involved with, particularly at a Sefer HaChinuchs, the anticipation of Kabbalah Satorah, he does not deal with the notion of the Mekubalim of the spiritual ascent. Just the anticipation of Kabbalah Satorah.
I was going to suggest that quite what Rav is saying, that the bracha does, it sounds like the bracha itself is not the ikar mitzvah, but it's really what we do in the day. So, like the sphere, that's maybe the Kabbalistic thing. Each day has a different sphere.
I'm not trying to integrate necessarily the Kabbalistic view, the view of the Mekubalim. Sefer HaChinuch does not deal in the Kabbalah. The Swana doesn't deal in the Kabbalah. What?
I don't know any Kabbalah, Rav. It wasn't a Kabbalah question.
That's a question. That notion of the spiritual ascent comes as a notion of the Mekubalim, their notion of sphere. So that could be, it struck me today, at the root of this machlokes. If it's, there's one goal to the whole thing, and that goal is to arrive at Kabbalah Satorah. Oh no, each day is a day of Tefillah, and it's a day in its own right. What happened yesterday and tomorrow doesn't touch what happens today. That's a thought. Today's thought on Sfira Sayim. I said, in times in life, there's a sense of epiphany. And today was one of them. Where all of a sudden, you know, factors like clicked into place. Now, one of the mysteries of the Sfira is why we don't have Sveika the Yuma. We're not sure when Pesach began. So maybe, in fact, the second day of Pesach was the first. I don't think everyone in this room, as far as I know, had a second Seder this year.
We essentially do, don't we? Because we have Shavuos is 2 days.
Okay, the Shavuos, the Rambam says, is only for, the Rambam indicates Shavuos is only because of a late plug. Shavuos, there was no necessity for Shavuos to be 2 days. It's the Rambam, right? The reason, since Pesach and Sukkot had to be 2 days, and they made Shavuos. But Shavuos, by the time Shavuos came, you knew which was the first day of Pesach. And you don't need any date. There's no date for that chat. It doesn't say what date. In fact, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, it could be the 5th, the 6th, or the 7th of Sivan. It's to be the 50th day since you counted the Omer. But the problem is, if we started the Omer, has to be a Motze Yom Tov Rishon, you start the Omer. So on the second night of Pesach, we started the Omer. But we said, went home and made a Seder.
Yeah.
And we just said, wait a second, maybe tonight is the first night of Yom Tov. Right? That's why we're making a Seder. So why is there no Sveika de Yuma when it comes to Sviras Omer? It happens to be it's a Shiloh, not only the Achroyd, the Rishonim asked this kasha already. So the Achroydish answer, there's a famous Achroydish answer to this, which is given both by Rav Shimon Shkop, that's all, and the Dvar Avram. It's in the Sefer, the Dvar Avram say the Dvar Avram itself. Both of them say the same terrors. And that terrors is that the problem isn't counting. It's in counting, if you say something is 10, you have to know that it's 10. To say that it's 9 or 10 is not considered counting. Because you know it's. That's both of them argue the same svar. I was always troubled. I had a difficulty with this approach. And I will show you, in fact, that the Balamor, in fact, does not give this answer. So the Balamor himself obviously was not didn't buy into this one, but I had a difficulty with this approach. And I subsequently, when speaking about it with people, they told me that the same problem that I had with it, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal said that the Dvar Avram, he told the Dvar Avram, and he says, I refuted his teretz, he used to say, based on the kasha that I had. And the kasha is that there was a tkufa, when we had real Sveika Diyuma. Today we don't have real Sveika Diyuma. The Gemara already said, since the latter Hillel came and he formalized the calendar, and it goes by mathematical models, so that's it. So we know it'd be a Sagoyal when Yontif is. So that the Gemara addressed in Beya, should be Zorub, Minago, Seichem, Shemayachzor, double. Fine. That's the Gemara in Beya addressed that. But before Hillel formulated it, and from the rise of the Tztukim, so there was a period when we were truly didn't know when Yontif was, if you lived too far from Yerushalayim. So, right, we could make, so there was at a certain distance, you didn't know when Yontif was, which day it was. So it would come out in the time that there was Sveika Diyuma, those communities, for example, came Pesach, and they didn't know whether Yontif was the first night of Yontif or the real Yontif was the second night of Yontif. They didn't know. I don't know if in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know if there was a part, I'm not sure there was a part in Eretz Yisrael which was far enough away that they didn't get there. But in Chutz Lawrence, there certainly were places, without any doubt. It could be a little bit, it's Mashman the Ramah, there may have been some places in Eretz Yisrael, maybe they're also so far flung, but I don't know. So now the Shaila is, how did they count the Sefirah Sayyim? According to the Dvar Avram and the Shimon Shkop, they couldn't count Sefirah Sayyim because they didn't know. It's tonight the first night, the Sefirah. Or tomorrow night the first night of Sefirah. And we saw that you can't count. So it means that those communities, according to them, couldn't count the Sefirah Sayyim. If those communities couldn't count the Sefirah Sayyim, the Gemara would tell us that they were incapable, that there was a problem, that they couldn't count the Sefirah Sayyim. Because this is a real issue, and the psak was that you can't count. So Chazal should have addressed the problem. This was part and parcel of the issue of having Sveika Diyuma. So why wasn't it addressed? So it would seem that they counted. So either counted. So how did they count? How did they count? They didn't know which one it was. They kept 2 days Yontif. So they probably counted 2 days. They counted it. Maybe tonight's the first. The second night they counted. Tonight's either the first or the second. That's what they must have counted. So this is the shayla, this is the kasha that Rabbi Yosef Soloveitchik Zatzal asked the Dvar Avram personally. He said, "Das stimmt nicht." So this I didn't understand. That a Balamor himself at the end of Psochem raises this issue, and the Balamor gives a different answer. Balamor gives a different answer to the problem. The Balamor says, the problem is the last night of Sefirah we're going to do. That we come to Shavuos, so according to this Cheshbon, we'd have to say that Hayoyim Yitishav Arboim Yom, Shem Shiva Shavuos La'Omer, on the first night of Yontif. So he says, you can't do that. We couldn't do that because then we would be casting aspersions on the validity of the day being Yontif. So therefore, he says, they could never institute. Now, I presume it means the following. When there was a real suffix, and the base of Migdash stood and it was a mitzvah deraisa, there was no choice. You had to count it, and that's it. There wasn't the Rabbanan instituting, a din of Sveika Diyuma. When, in other words, when there was a real Sveika Diyuma, they counted. There was no choice.
Or they waited and only counted
weeks. Well, we don't find that. Then we should have found that in the Gemara, too. And how would they know when the weeks was?
A week later, then.
Oh, well, at some point they would know, but I don't know. So whatever. So then we should have found out that there was a kufa that they didn't count. We don't find it. So they probably had accounted the night of Shavuos Misveika Diyuma. It was a mitzvah deraisa. But for the Rabbonon, the institute, especially the Balamor, holds that the mitzvah is one says a mitzvah the Rabbonon, Zechel Migdash. And therefore, for the Rabbonon to institute it, that they wouldn't do. The Rabbonon wouldn't institute a Sveika Diyuma, which is Megareya, which detracts from the Kedushas Yontif. So I saw today in the Chidah, I did not really have a chance really to, I was looking for something else, I just per chance bumped into it in the Chidah, in the Birka Yosef. So there are some achrayim that want to know why was the Balamor only concerned with the last night of Sfira, and what's going to happen in during Pesach itself. You could have the problem on the when you're counting the first night of Sfira on the second night of Yontif, for example. So then what? So you're saying it's Motzei Yontif already. Yeah, cast. Or the last night of Yontif, you're saying it's the 8th, it's the 7th, whatever. So I did, as I say, I did not have a chance. I just noticed it passingly in the Brikei Yosef. I was looking for something else today. But I think that the answer is a very simple answer. There's no inherent conflict between the first night of Sfira. There's nothing of we're doing and the 7th night and being Yontif. Counting. The problem is that Shuas is in the feast after the completion of the Sfira Sa'ayim. So if I'm counting still, then it can't be Shavuos. You could still quibble maybe on Yom Tov Rishon, it has to be Mimochos HaShavas, maybe it's not Mimochos HaShavas. But the clearest contradiction, counting one day is not inherently a contradiction to being Yom Tov. If I'm counting on the night of Shavuos, I'm saying that Sfira didn't end yet. And the whole point, Shavuos, is when Sfira ends.
Then you have the same problem with Shemini Atzeres, Kareitin Suk, anyway.
So we sort of, you know, what did we do? So we did it in a fashion, since we don't make a brocha, so it's not muchrach that we're eating near the Shem Sukkah.
So what did they do when it was a real stinking of Yomah? Did they also not make a brocha?
Maybe they didn't make a brocha either. Right. They may not have made a brocha either, for the same reason of Zilzul and Yontif. A brocha, the Rabbanon could, you know, do something about it. That's my thought. In terms of, now it's interesting, he learns the Balamor, as most Rishonim, that Sfira is Manazez the Rabbana. In other words, in the absence of the Korban HaOmer, there's no mitzvah to say Sfira the Raisa. And he says that's really the meaning of the Brocha, that we have, why is it after we count the Sfira, we say, Arachman, Yachsalman, Avodah, Sevisa, Mikdashim, Komam, Merav, Yemenu, Amin, Selah. So he says the reason for that is that's the nostalgia. It's like we're at the end of the Seder, what do we say? Adir hu yivne beis v'kol. Right? Here we are, nochamol in the Golus, nochamol, it's not Rishlei Musa the Mitzvah, it's Rabbeinu Shalom, you know? Let's get back in the right track. So he says there's a nostalgia that's involved. In the Harachman Yachsel and Avodah Zeis Hamikdash from Kol Amhera of Yomer, because it's a mitzvah derei, it's a mitzvah derabbanim as Malazah. That's why we have it. Now, what comes out with this, he also explains something which is also very peculiar, the Balamor, and that is why don't we have the Shachiyon? It's a mitzvah which is bom bezman lezman. So every other mitzvah that comes once a year, on the first night we start the mitzvah, we make a shachiyon.
It's on words. Can you ever say
shachiyon on words? I don't know. I mean, what's the difference? If the mitzvah is a mitzvah which is a recitation, so why shouldn't we say shachiyon?
Say it on the
Gemara. Yeah, but that's a Rabbanan,
right? Yeah. But it's not the same mitzvah they always had. We didn't lose anything in the mitzvah. Right? The same mitzvah. So that's purely, it's only Dibur. The Megillas Esther. So why don't we recite Shechiyonah? The mitzvah is bol hazman hazman. Shofar comes, we recite it. Lulav comes, we recite it. Chayaras Chanukah, the Megillah. The one often. What often in the Jewish religion?
We might not finish.
In the Shabbat.
Yeah.
So he says that's the reason. Because Sof Kosov, there's a tzar that's involved in it. Because of the fact that it's not a derais, it's only Zechel and Migdash. So therefore, in fact, it's bittersweet. Remember the Migdash. That's true. But we remember the Migdash from where? From the outside. You know, you're passing the bakery, and you look in the window, and you don't have the dollar to buy the Danish, you know. So you remember Zachar Yimei Salem, yeah, when you came with your grandmother, she used to buy it for you, you know. But Sof Kol Sof, now you're looking through the window from the outside. She says, that's why the Balamar says we don't recite Shachiyon. This is a certain tzav. That we only have the mitzvah, we observe the mitzvah from the distance. So he basically, it comes out, all of his mahalcha and answering his kashas are all rooted in the fact that Tzvir is a mitzvah derabbanan. In other words, that's why we don't have Sveika de Yuma, ultimately, because it's the Rabbanon. And that's why we don't have a Shechiyonu, because it's a mitzvah de Rabbanon. And the Rachmana Yachzer is also, all of those, from the Balamor standpoint, all fit together because of the fact that it's a mitzvah de Rabbanon. It's not a mitzvah de Reis of the Manasseh. Now, there are Rishonim that learn that these two are not linked, inextricably linked to each other, meaning the Korban Omer and the Sphere. There are those, the Rambam and others, and other of the Rishonim that hold that Sphere of Hazmanas as the Raisa. The Korban, you can't bring a Korban, but you still have to count. The counting is not dependent on the Korban. So that there are still the whole steps. So according to them, we can start the whole Shmooze again. Right? Why you don't have Sveik in the Yuma, and why you don't make Shechiyonu. Right? So that's a separate exploration why that's true, according to those shittas. Those shittas would demand that we look for a different answer to these issues. I want one more thing. I've been unsure for a long time, but I discovered the fact, I also spoke about it in the shir last week, that Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach paskin lahalocha this way. So if he paskin the right in this way, I'm willing to bite it off lahalocha. The shaila is, I don't understand what the other tzarabit is, in all honesty. There's probably an early tshuva sefer called Beis David. And if a person didn't count the Sefiras Omer yesterday, and he forgot the whole day today, and remembered after Shkia, so the Shari Tshuva quotes the Beis David, he doesn't say where it is. And the sources that I looked at elsewhere bring it from Simon, the Chidor brings it from Simon Reish Samaches. But I did not succeed today where I was. They didn't have a copy of the Sefer. So we'll probably have to look either in the Shut Bar Ilan or in the Yitzhar HaChochmo until I pull it up. So he says, for some reason, as Al Gad Salom is that it's not a full-fledged Svek Sveiko, Ben Ashmoshes. And therefore, if you counted Ben Ashmoshes, you should not make a brocha henceforth. And the Chidor is not overly impressed. He doesn't seem fully to be machri against them, but the Chidor raises objections.
Well,
according to the Rosh, it's worse, because the Rosh says that the Chachila dikit time to count. No, we're not counting tomorrow is during Ben Ashmoshes. I want to count yesterday's during Ben Ashmoshes. Yeah, the Rosh at the end of Pesachim says the ideal time for counting tomorrow isn't Ben Ashmoshes. That's true. But I want to count yesterday's and today's Ben Ashmoshes.
Should be the same problem, though.
So, I saw that Shlomo Zalman said that he disagrees, he says he endorses the Chidor's objections, and that's what the halacha is, that if one remembered during Ben Ashmoshes and counted, one could go on counting with a bracha. So not having seen that he was machriya ready to shayla Shlomo Zalman, I'm willing to bite it off, you know, and accept the psak. The halacha lemaisa are not like the Shari Tshuva. So I've been wondering for a long time. I did not really fully understand the Shari Tshuva, and I suspected a little bit from something that the Chofetz Chaim wrote, that he doesn't quote the Shari Tshuva. From something that he wrote, I suspected that he wouldn't agree with the Shari Tshuva. But today I actually found that Rosh Shlomo Zalman Zatzal paskin not like the Shari Tshuva. So I would say until a half an hour after Shkia that one could count that as Ben Ashmoshes, in terms of, if you remember, within a half an hour after Shkia, he certainly can make a brocha. There are those that went even further. I heard also today that Rav Aaron Kotler, that's how Rav Aaron Kotler was very, very strong on observing the Rabbeinu Tamzman. Ad kedei kach, that the minhag in Lakewood is that if a baby is born 71 minutes after Shkia on Friday night, they don't make a bris on Shabbos. They make a Sunday bris. And that's probably being a kula, because I think Rav Aaron kept 90. I don't even think that he kept 72. But for a bris, less than 70, 71 minutes after, Rav Aaron would not let him make a bris on Shabbos. And that's the minhag in Lakewood. So because he was so strongly chayshus, interesting, Rav Moshe was also chayshus strongly for the Rabbeinu Tamzman. See, he held until 58 minutes after Shkia, it's a spek svek. Maybe it's yom, and even if it's not yom, maybe the days are not ma'akif. So he also held that you could be mitzvah, make such a tziruf. You know, the problem is that we're not necessarily in the other halachos as machmer as the Rabbeinu Tam. So, it's hard to be as makel as the Rabbeinu Tam to use him the kula. But until a half an hour after Shkia, I would certainly say that one could, one remembered that the cheshbon of yesterday's counting, that one could go on counting the rest of the days with the bracha. So this is something new that I came to in today's research.
And after a half an hour after Shkia, can you already count the next day?
You can count even right after Shkia the next
really?
Day. But it's better to wait until Mamash Tzis. There are shittas, there are significant shittas, really, that a half an hour after could be Tzis. It's better to wait, you know, a little bit longer. That's why I endeavor to wait in the shul 40 minutes after Shkia Friday night.
The Chassidim said you could already count tomorrow right after Shkia.
Yes.
You could still count
yes.
yesterday.
Because it's
wow.
it's a din sofik. It's only misofik. So misofik can play out different ways. You know, you have that. Gemara says in Shas, the Gemara says in the first parak in Brochus. So you guys learned the Brochus this past
it's
summer.
More than a month ago. So
I remind you that the Gemara says, according to the Gemara in the first parak in Brochus, if a person was an onus, so we could read Kriya Shma Shel Arvis until the sun rises.
Right.
B'di'evet, if you get up in the morning and you don't have time, you can read the Kriya Shma right away at Amar HaShachar if you have to. Like you're not supposed to until the Mishayakir, but etc. Until Mishayakir, but nevertheless, with the Evid, you could be Yaitzi from Amar HaShachar. So here you have it, or certainly you can be Yaitzi maybe even the Chatchila later on, before if it gets closer to the sunrise. So you have a Tkufa in the day where you could both do Kriya Shma Shel Arvis and Kriya Shma Shel Shachar. Not on the same day, but you could actually do it. So we have there are parallels in the halacha to the issue that you're raising, Rabbi. So Rabbi Yisrael will hold it at this point. Some interesting things.
Thank you.